At Revive Our Hearts, one topic comes up a lot when we get letters from listeners, and that's depression.
He's not a wild drunk. It's just that the drinking affects his health. He's always tired, depressed.
I've always found comfort in food when depressed. And having suffered depression, you can imagine
it's just not easy being a wife and a mother. I get depressed and come down hard on myself because I feel like such a
failure. I was in a one-bedroom apartment. I had my two boys with
me. I went through with it, and I never felt so depressed.
Depressed all the time.
Or so alone, or so devastated.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, November 30th. A lot of times when someone's depressed, the immediate solution is medication, right? Well, the issue isn't that simple, according to our guests. We'll meet a woman who did get on antidepressants, and we'll find out what she thinks of them now. Before we start today's message, let me tell you what you're not going to hear. We're not telling anyone to get off of medication for psychotic disorders. We are not telling anyone to get off of antidepressants immediately without a doctor's supervision. What we are suggesting is maybe antidepressants are being prescribed too often, too quickly. Here's Nancy to introduce our guests.
Well, it's not often that we have four of us here in the studio talking together on Revive Our Hearts, and so we've had quite a bit of technical crew in here setting up mics, and we also have 35 or so women here in the studio with us today talking about this subject of medicating emotional pain, which, as you know, is a very common practice in our culture, and we're trying to get a biblical perspective, God's way of thinking about depression, about emotions, and about this whole movement to medicate emotional pain. So I'm joined today in the studio with my friend Elise Fitzpatrick, who with co-author Dr. Laura Hendrickson has written a very helpful book called Will Medicine Stop the Pain? And in this book, they deal with God's perspective on depression, anxiety, and other troubling emotions. Now, we're also being joined today by two other friends, Holly Eliff, who's been with us on Revive Our Hearts before and is a pastor's wife and very actively involved in counseling and discipling women. And if you're involved in ministry to women, you're dealing with emotions. If you are a woman, you're dealing with emotions. Holly, thank you for being back here with us on Revive Our Hearts.
Good to be here, Nancy.
And you introduced me to our fourth friend here, Kathy Weiler. Kathy is a speech pathologist. She works with children who have speech disorders. And Kathy, you are in the church that is pastored by Holly's husband, Bill. And thank you for being willing to come with Holly and share your story with us of how God has worked in your life in this area of depression.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm glad to be here.
And Holly's been a big part of that story, so that's why we asked the two of you to come and share together. Kathy, when you were about 30 years of age, a doctor prescribed for you antidepressants, which you began taking on a regular basis. What led you to go to that doctor, and what caused him to put you on the antidepressants in the first place?
Okay, Nancy, I was dealing a lot with sexual abuse in my past for several years. And it was at that point, after dealing with a lot of those issues, that I started getting headaches and having just not wanting to get out of bed. And I stayed in bed several days. I missed 35 days of work and got written up at work for missing so many days. And my boss talked with me, and I explained to her what was going on. And it was at that point that I was going to doctor after doctor after doctor, and one put me on an antidepressant because none of the other medications that they tried were helping with my headaches. So it was at that point that they put me on an antidepressant.
To help with the pain.
To help with the pain.
And did it?
It did help with my headaches. My headaches did stop. It took several months before those headaches stopped completely. I also had to take something to help me sleep because the antidepressant would keep me awake.
That's a very typical story, Kathy. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that story, that people are given antidepressants even when they're not depressed for headaches. Because a lot of times doctors will say, you know, we can't find anything wrong. There's nothing really physiological wrong, but this person seems to be in distress. So we want to help the person, and so then they will prescribe antidepressants for that. I've heard that being described in a number of situations. One woman that I know personally who was in an automobile accident, lost a leg, and was having very significant phantom limb pain, which is that pain you get in the limb that's no longer there. And the doctors said that the only thing they could do for her was put her on antidepressants. What usually happens is that an antidepressant is prescribed, and perhaps for a short period of time, the person feels better because there's a placebo effect. And other times, the person may feel better because they actually do feel better from the medicine. But after a very short period of time, usually, the effects of the medicine tend to poop out, and then you have to up the dosage of the medicine and then add other meds, which, Kathy, I understand is what happened to you.
That's right. That's exactly what they did with me. They continued to up the dosage as it would not work for a while, and then they would up the dosage again and again.
And then, once we're done with that drug and they decide, well, this person's not being helped by this drug, then we'll start them on another drug. And that's why I have women who come to me not on just one antidepressant, but on a number of antidepressants, on sleeping pills, on other medications, tranquilizers to calm some of the side effects, so that we have women coming to us who are on five or six meds, sometimes more, and these medicines are, many of them, just given to handle the side effects of the medicine that was given to begin with, which probably should not have even been given to begin with.
I think, too, Elise, what you're saying is if we're not careful, we only treat what we see at the top of the tree and never get to the root of the issue. And I think that's what was happening in Kathy's life, is that she had spent years trying to fix the outward symptoms of a very deep hurt that had never been dealt with. And so as she tried more and more to fix the outward symptoms, it got worse and worse because the deep root of her hurt had never been addressed.
I feel like I was having that pain, or I can look back and see that I was having that pain and those headaches because I had dealt with some sexual abuse in the past, and I had a lot of anger and bitterness toward some of those people who had abused me. And just from growing up in a home with an alcoholic, there was some abuse there. So I had a lot of anger and bitterness issues that I was not dealing with.
I think it's really important at this juncture to point out a couple of things. First of all, I don't think that what we're saying is that anybody who has pain because they have anger or bitterness issues.
Right.
That's not at all what we would say. There are real diseases that people have that cause pain that basically don't have to do with anger or bitterness. However, a lot of what we feel physically is influenced by what's happening to us emotionally. And Kathy, just the same way as that doctor gave you drugs that basically blunted your emotions without actually dealing with the circumstance, that's how many women are going through life now with their emotions blunted, but never having changed the circumstance or even having the energy to go back and say, it seems to me I have anger and bitterness in my heart over what someone has done to me. And instead of handling that in a godly way, we use these drugs to basically blunt our emotions so that we don't feel those things anymore. Here is an example of what that's like that will seem a little bit simplistic and silly, but we're going to use it. Let's say that I put a tack on a chair. And you sat on the tack on the chair. Now, how can you respond to that? You can respond by jumping up and getting the tack off the chair, or you can take morphine that will blunt the pain. Now, I know that seems silly, and I'm not trying to make something that's very, very serious seem silly. I know that women really do struggle with this. But that's very much what we're doing. When we take anti-anxiety or antidepressant medications for emotional pain, we are not dealing with the fact that we're sitting on a tack. We're not dealing with the fact that there are problems. And just like you had significant problems in your life that really needed to be dealt with and brought to the cross and thought about in a godly way, we need to get up and remove the tack. And if you get up and you remove the tack, in many ways, that pain will go away. It would be like taking morphine for a broken arm. Doesn't mean your arm's not broken anymore. It just means you don't feel it. Another example would be the oil light on the car. If the oil light goes on and I'm driving, I can do one of two things. I can pull over and put oil in the car, or I can get some black masking tape and I can put it over the oil light. Now, if I do that, my husband will need medication. Kidding. You see, God has given our emotions to us as a very good gift. They color life, but then they also tell us when things are wrong and when things are right, and they draw us to the cross. And that's the purpose of our emotions. So we want to be very careful when what we're doing is simply blunting our emotions without taking care of the underlying causes.
And then as you continued on these medications, did there come a point where they specifically diagnosed you with depression?
Yes, I was going to counseling at the time, and the counselor had diagnosed me with a severe depression.
Now, were you a believer at the time?
Yes, I was a believer at the time, and I was going to Christian counseling, and I also had a Christian psychiatrist at the counseling clinic I went to that was monitoring my medication at the time.
And what caused you to begin to question whether being on all those medications was a good thing?
Well, I had to be changed several times. The medication would stop working, so they would increase it, and they would increase it, and they just continued to increase it until I was on the maximum amount of antidepressant. And then that antidepressant didn't work, so they switched me to a different antidepressant and put me on the maximum amount starting out on that antidepressant. And I continued to have difficulty with my emotions, and toward the time that I realized that maybe they weren't really working for me, I had actually started raging at a very good friend of mine, and I had never raged. I'm usually a calm and peaceful person, and just what was in my heart was just spewing out of my mouth, and I didn't feel like I could control it at the time.
Did you begin to suspect that the medications were having some negative effects?
No, I just thought I needed more medication at that point. I thought, this medicine's not working. Maybe I needed something different.
And then somebody said something that challenged you to consider that maybe God could heal you from the depression.
Right. I was in a Bible study, and it was during the summer, and one of the girls in the Bible study said that God had healed her of depression. And it really made me mad that she said God could heal depression, because I thought, she doesn't even know what depression is. I don't think she's really dealt with depression. And I said out loud to the group that God could not heal a chemical depression, and that is what I had. And I was on antidepressants for. And it was the very next day in my car, I was listening to a Christian radio station, and they said that scientists believed that Sarah could not have had a baby at 90 because biologically it just really wasn't possible. And also they said that Christ could not have resurrected from the dead because the law of gravity, and that could not have happened. So I just laughed out loud in my car, and I said, God, and I said, you couldn't heal chemical depression. And I said, okay, I give up. I'm willing to try, but you're going to have to help me.
So what'd you do at that point?
At that point, I knew I needed to go to my psychiatrist and tell him what I felt like God wanted me to do. And
Which was
to get off of the antidepressant that I was taking completely. And so I went to him.
You didn't do this on your own?
No, I didn't do it on my own. I knew I was wise enough, I think, to know that if I just quit cold turkey, I was going to have major problems because I was on the maximum amount.
You agree with that, Elise?
Absolutely. And let's just make sure that our listeners really hear that statement, because we are encouraging people to reevaluate what they're doing with their medicines. But we do not want at any point for any woman to stop taking her medication without being under the care and supervision of her physician, because stopping these medicines can produce very, very serious side effects.
Did your doctor agree with your choice to do that?
No, my doctor had told me that I was going to need to be on this medication all my life because I grew up in a home with alcohol. My father was an alcoholic, and he said there was chemical imbalance there and that I would have to be on it all my life, and he didn't think it was a wise decision for me to get off of my antidepressant. And so I told him that I felt like this was something God wanted me to do, and I was going to do it with his help or without his help, but that I knew that I needed to come off of this in a slow process, and I needed his help to know how to do that.
That was very courageous of you to do that, Kathy. I've just got to say, I know that the relationship that most people have with their psychiatrist or psychologist or counselor or physician is one in which that person is really in a position of authority in your life. And for you to tell him this was something you were going to do, God really gave you grace in order to stand against what he was telling you to do. And I just want to applaud that. You know, that's God's work in your life, Kathy.
And so under his supervision, then you began to get weaned off the drugs. And tell us about that early process. Do you remember what it was like?
Oh, yes. I still remember it quite well. It was very, very difficult. I dealt with major anxiety during those weeks. I also was very sad. I cried a lot. And probably for about 6 months, honestly, I cried a lot.
Was it unusual for you to cry?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't cried in 5 or 6 years, however long I'd been on the antidepressant. I couldn't cry at a funeral of a friend of mine who had died, and that really shocked me. So, yeah, it was new for me to be crying. I just knew I needed to pour things out. I also had some friends around me who were encouraging me to get in the Word and who were encouraging me just to pour out my heart to Christ and to let Him know how I was feeling. So they were hard, hard days, and there were a lot of days that no one could help me except for the Lord. And there was not anybody I could call at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was really distraught and crying, but there was the Lord. He was always present with me.
And you did have, as you said, some friends. One of those friends was Holly. Holly, what was your perspective as Kathy was walking through this time? Was she asking for help, and how were you able to help her?
I first met Kathy at the beginning of this time, and I can remember the very first time that we got together, and I sat there thinking, boy, she has a lot of baggage here in her life, and I can understand why she felt like she needed to be on antidepressants, because I potentially could have gotten depressed just listening to her story. And as we started to visit, Kathy, of course, now that relationship has moved from kind of a counseling relationship to just a friendship. So Kathy knows me well enough to know that whole process in my heart. But Kathy would come in with little note cards filled with questions of things she wanted us to talk about. And they were tough questions lots of times. And so as I first met Kathy, she had lots of questions and she had lots of need. And so when I met her, I walked away that first day thinking, oh my goodness. And I gave her some things to think about during the week and said, well, we'll get together again. And I thought, if she does those, we'll get together again. But I probably won't initiate that. I will let her initiate that because I believe it's very important for someone to make that choice to walk toward God. And what I love about Kathy is that through the whole process, which was lengthy, she consistently made choices to get to God with her hurt and her need and the anger and the bitterness and issues that needed to be dealt with that she really had not felt the result of in her life in a long time. And so when I first met her, she was dealing with a bucket full of issues that had been numbed but not dealt with.
Kathy, when you and Holly first met at that pizza place, it was obvious that you had issues that you were just putting your toe in the water, just getting ready to deal with, and you probably had no idea of the process that was ahead. And yet God used a woman in your life to help you start to think biblically, to help you start to think God's way. But it was a long, hard process of dealing with the issues that had resulted in anger and bitterness and headaches and antidepressants and numbness. Tell us a little bit about the process from that meeting at the pizza place to being able to say, you know, I'm free from these root issues of anger and bitterness. Not that I'll never struggle with it, but they're not dominating and controlling my life anymore.
The first time I met with Holly, I had index cards full of questions. I think some of those questions were, I know a lot of those questions were relational because I had a lot of issues with relationships and actually had just had a friend tell me she didn't want to talk to me for 3 months because she was the friend I was raging at before I got off my antidepressant. And so that was probably my primary questions at that point was, how do I deal with these relationships? How do I deal with this anger toward relationships in my life with my family members and with friends? And where do I go from here? And so Holly would go through the Word and give me biblical counsel and tell me how I needed to deal with that. And a lot of times it was writing those things down and just talking to the Lord and pouring out my heart as to what I was feeling. But then once I did that, then I needed to replace that with God's Word and memorizing His Word. And she encouraged me to memorize His Word. And so I did that, and that helped to transform my thought patterns. So then as a result of that, my relationships started getting healthier and better as I made choices toward that.
Kathy also, she is courageous. She would not, if you ask her to describe herself, she would not describe herself as courageous. But she is a courageous woman. And so as God began to reveal layers of hurt in her heart, or deep relational hurts in her life, and God would show those to Kathy, she began to make choices to forgive those things, to realize that that root was there, and then to choose forgiveness rather than control. And so she had spent years trying to control those things and keep them from hurting her, and now she began to let those things go, to surrender those issues to the Lord, to give Him control over that area of her life. She had some tough family relationships because a lot of her family members are not believers. And so she began to release those things into God's hands and trust Him to give her ways to relate to those family members that were tough issues in her life. And then she was faithful when God prompted her heart to love that person in this way or to reach out to that person in very practical ways sometimes. Kathy was faithful to choose to do that. Again, realizing it wasn't coming out of her, but the more she surrendered her life to Christ, the more He enabled her to take steps that were proactive in loving people who had hurt her in her life. And God has consistently brought redemption in so many of those relationships.
That's Holly Eliff, along with Nancy Lee DeMoss, Elise Fitzpatrick, and a woman who has learned a lot about forgiveness, Kathy Weiler. Maybe you heard Kathy's story and realized, that's me. Maybe you've been treating pain or depression when first you need to get to the root of the issue and choose to offer some forgiveness. Nancy Lee DeMoss has written a book that will help you thoroughly deal with your past through the power of forgiveness. It will help you figure out where areas of hurt linger in your life. Then it will help you understand why forgiveness is the best option. The book is called Choosing Forgiveness, and you can order it at reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Kathy's issues went unresolved for a long time. While looking around for ways to dull the pain, Kathy got on antidepressants. If you're considering medicating depression, I hope you'll get a copy of our guest's book. It's called Will Medicine Stop the Pain by Elise Fitzpatrick. You can order at reviveourhearts.com. Like we said earlier, if you're currently taking antidepressants, please work with your doctor on how to stop taking them. And for anyone being treated for a psychotic disorder, we're not saying to stop taking your medicine. Tomorrow, we'll find out how Kathy got from a place of unforgiveness to a place of healing. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.